stand as we read from Luke 8. We're going to read from Luke 8, starting in verse 42b, which is that last part of 42. Here's what Luke says. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, this time that we have to be together. And Lord, we pray a blessing on this time. Those in here, those watching online, those who will watch us later online, Lord, we pray a blessing over everyone. And Lord, we ask now that in this moment, our hearts and our minds are opened and prepared for what your Spirit wants to do in us, for what your Spirit wants to speak to us. And we pray that in these moments, Lord, and as we leave here, that your Spirit mold us and transform us more into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So I don't know if you know this, but, and you may have forgotten it, but you have a superpower. You do. You really do. I had forgotten this for a long time, being that Annalee is now 14, but my son Isaac, who's 3, has reminded me of this superpower that I have. And I think all adults have this superpower, whether you have a son or daughter, or you have nieces and nephews, or you just have, children that run around and play. You are gifted with this superpower. And it was reminded to me as my son was starting to walk of this superpower. Because you see, what normally happens in our household is that Isaac is the one who runs around and screams and does all the stuff, right? It's just part of our daily routine. Laurie looked at me last night as we were having dinner and said, "Whose idea was this?" I mean, that's where we're at, right? But that's what he is. He's running around, he's screaming, he's doing what a 3-year-old does, and you put that with now a 9-month-old Labradoodle, and just all heck breaks loose in the Franz household. So Isaac is running, Hank is running, and invariably what happens? Either Hank trips Isaac, or Hank nips Isaac, or Isaac just trips over his feet, and he goes for a tumble, and you know what happens next. What was joyous screams are now a flood of tears. And this is when I've learned that my superpower can go into action. Because this is the superpower. Daddy, kiss it and make it better. Who in here has heard that before? Kiss it and make it better. And wouldn't you know it? From that moment that he comes up to me and he says, or mommy, kiss it and make it better. And wherever it is, and you kiss it, and the tears end, and the smiles begin. The wailing ends, and the joy begins. All because of this power that I never knew that I could heal with the simple power of touch. Rub it and make it better. I mean, all of this is kind of what I had forgotten in life. And as we close out this series on gifted to be a gift, there's one last thought I want to give us as we think about this idea of gifts. There's one last idea, and it is this. It is the one who has gifted us is the great healer. And your gifts that have been gifted to you were meant to do the same thing. They were meant to bring healing to all that you come in contact with. When we read this passage that we read in Luke 8, and especially when we read any passages in which Jesus has interactions with crowds, and there's a lot of them, where Jesus has interactions with crowds, I don't know about you, but it causes me to sit in it for a minute. Anytime Jesus is around crowds, you know something's going to happen. Something amazing is going to happen. Something that causes people to stop is going to happen. Something that is going to cause people to ask questions is going to happen. And invariably, as I read when Jesus is with crowds, it has a way of causing me to reassess who I am. And how I live with people, and how I live with myself, and how I interact with others. And so this interaction between Jesus and the crowd, and more specifically, as we read in Luke 8, the woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years, is a story of Jesus in a crowd with the woman who has been suffering for 12 years, to the point where even reading 6 or 7 verses and hearing the woman talk, we realize her situation feels hopeless. And you know what that feels like, right? I mean, you know what it feels like to be hopeless, to where it feels like nothing can go right. Nothing you do will be right. Nothing you say will be the right words. Maybe some of you in here today feel that way. It's a posture. You can almost see it on people when hopelessness sets in. You can see it how they carry themselves, how their posture looks, how they carry the countenance on their face. You know all of that. You can tell when hopelessness sets in to individuals. And hopelessness has this way of causing us to try anything, to listen to anyone, to find a glimmer of hope. Because here's the thing, hopelessness doesn't cause us to stop looking for hope. It causes us to be desperate for hope. We'll look for it anywhere. We'll listen to anyone. And we see it in the text, as the text tells us that she has tried and tried for years, going to whoever she could go to, whatever physician was out there, whatever thing was out there. The text tells us that this woman has spent all of her money looking for a cure, looking for healing from what she feels right now. She is desperate. She is looking for hope. More importantly, she's looking for healing. And we see the implications on the woman's life with this disease of bleeding. Her ailment has caused her to be excluded from the common life of the people. I like what Joel Green says, and Joel Green makes us have to hold on to something. He says this, when we read this story, especially when we read these stories in Luke, within the world Luke portrays, reports about sick people have to do with their physical misfortune and its social consequences. So I want you to remember that this woman's issue with bleeding caused social consequences on her for the last 12 years, that she could no longer be a part of the common life of the people. The purity laws have caused her to be considered unclean for 12 years. She's not experienced community for 12 years. We think about 6 months. Imagine 12 years. And so we can understand why she's looking for something. She's looking for healing because she has been looking from the outside in for 12 years. She has sat on the margins of life. She has had others look at her with pity. And you know what I'm talking about. When you look at someone with pity and you kind of whisper to the person next to him, or you just kind of look at him and just shake your head. This is what she's dealt with for 12 years. She is looking for healing from this pain. A pain that is physical, but also emotional. And I want to tell you this right now as we think about this woman, as we think about healing, there are many right now who are facing similar situations as this woman. There are many right now around us who are facing the exact same situations of these women, of this woman, and you may be one of them. You might be one who is looking for healing in this moment. You are seeking something that will soothe your pain, that you may feel like you have been looking on the outside in for 12 years, wondering if anybody will ever notice, wondering if you'll ever be taken care of. There are people all around us today that are scraped, that are cut, that are bruised, that are beat up from life. And in so, life in society has a way of also beating them up. Life in society has a way of also pushing them down. We have ways we do it. We call names. We look on pity and shake our heads and whisper to our neighbors while they're looking at us. They know what it feels like to be on the outside. Because we also have a way of reminding them of their worth. If they would just do this or just do that or just figure out this, it would be better. But here's the thing. Here's the thing as we think about this woman. Here's the thing as we think about the people in our neighborhoods, the people in our workplaces, the people our kids go to school with who are struggling and who are hurting and who are looking for healing. It can be up to us. How we use our gifts can either harm others or it can heal others. I hope you've realized this over 7 weeks. How you use your gifts today and this week has the power to harm or to heal. It has the power to keep somebody on the outside or it has the power to bring them in. It can cause tears or it can cause joy. And we know it, because we've been a part of both of them. In our own lives, we've been a part of both of them. But the question is, how are we going to respond to this? How are we going to respond to these moments like Jesus in the crowd? And this is the big if here, because this is what it means. It will mean that we have to be attentive every day to every person that we come in contact with. It means that we'll have to be attentive to every conversation that we have, listening for those key points. And you know what I'm talking about, those key points in conversations when you hear that someone's hurting, when you hear that something is going on. Because a lot of times people are talking to you and you're having these conversations and they're real kind of subtle about it, but they're looking for healing. They're looking for something in their life that somebody can give them healing. And as we read, as this woman is desperate, looking for healing, there's this amazing moment, and it talks about it here as we read. But there's Jesus is in this crowd, and we've all been, well, not for the last 6 months, we haven't been in a crowd, but we've all been in a crowd at some point. And in this crowd, get this, Jesus is being pressed and crushed by this crowd. And yet we notice in 42b, it says she's being crushed by this crowd. But in 42, this woman touches him and he notices it. Jesus notices that someone in particular within all of this group touches him in a way that he knows it. And you know what I mean when I say this. There are times in crowds when you're in crowds, you're being pushed on every side. You don't want to be touched by these people now more than ever. You don't want to be touched by these people. And we'll sometimes be touched by certain people that we don't want to be touched by. And we can imagine us saying, looking at them and saying, how dare you? Why would you touch me? Jesus has just been touched by an unclean woman, which, by the way, technically makes him what? Unclean, except Jesus has his way, as we see, of showing us that's just not the case. But Jesus gets touched by this woman. He feels it, turns around, sees her. We might imagine, I know I might say, how dare you touch me? You have no right to touch me. What are you doing in this crowd? You should be over there. Don't you know who you are? But that's the beauty of Jesus. Because in true Jesus fashion, Jesus wants to show us that we have a power that's his, that was given to us, that allows us to be touched but allows us to notice. And instead of bringing condemnation, instead what Jesus shows us is we can bring a blessing. that we can bring healing. And this is where Jesus is Jesus. That just because no one wanted to touch her, Jesus doesn't mind being touched by her. Just because this woman hasn't been or heard or seen in the community, notice what Jesus does. Jesus gets touched, and in verse 48, Jesus brings healing. Brings healing with one word. Daughter. She hadn't heard that word in 12 years. She hadn't been considered a daughter in the community for 12 years. She's been considered unclean, unworthy, and every other name we can call her. And Jesus notices this one lady who touches her and does not condemn her, does not say, how dare you, does not say you're unclean, does not say, well, great, now this is going to cost me a lot of money to get clean again. I appreciate that. No, what does Jesus say? Daughter. Don't think that word had the power of healing on her life? Realizing that for the first time in 12 years, she is accepted. Realize for the first time in 12 years, she has been seen. The gift of Jesus was to bring healing like that. And by the way, that gift of Jesus is not just exclusive to Jesus. It has been given to us as well. That we have a call on our own lives to also give this gift of healing to others, to be able to notice those who are hurting, those in our community and all around us who are struggling, that we are gifted with the ability to break boundaries, to bust through walls, to break shame, and offer restoration through our words of healing. I like what Justo Gonzalez says here about us just living amongst people, because he talks about it this way, and I like what he says. He says this, he says, our lives is a mission among crowds, but it's also a mission of personal touch. It is a mission of joy and restoration, both to those who have been oppressed by evil and to those who have suddenly discovered its demonic and life-destroying powers. So guess what? Our life, this gift that we're given, as we see in this passage, is a gift amongst people that will be right next to people, that will be in conversation with people, that we can notice and give joy and restoration to those who have been struggling for 12 years, who have been oppressed for 12 years, and to those who are now just coming to realize that yesterday was the hardest day of my life. And in all situations, your mission and your gift is to bring healing into this world. Jesus' mission is our mission. Jesus' gifts of healing are our gifts of healing. And how can I say that? Because the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this same message, the reconciliation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God was what? Making his appeal through who? Through you. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul says, this is who we are. We are gifted by the one who healed to also heal and bring reconciliation. So I ask you today, what are your gifts bringing to the world? In everything you do, and while crowds might be scarce, we still live in a world of people. We live in neighborhoods amongst friends, strangers, and families. We have vast opportunities every day, whether you know it or not, to bring healing into the world, to give a healing word, to speak a healing word into someone's life. With everything we do and with everything we say, we testify and witness to this. So my question is, what are you witnessing to? To bring it down a little bit more, what are you typing on social media these days? Is it bringing healing or is it bringing division? What are you saying in conversations? Is it bringing healing or is it bringing division? When you talk to others about other people, what are you saying? Is it bringing healing or is it bringing division? What are your gifts speaking to people right now? Because we read that the Jesus that we know, the Jesus that we follow, the Jesus who loves us, who is in crowds all the time, found ways to speak healing. His gift, superpower, was healing. Whether you know it or not, you got a superpower too. Your gifts can bring healing today, wherever you are, with whoever you are. The words that you speak can bring healing into someone's life. A needed word, a needed touch, a needed moment. You have that power. Because here's what Paul says, just a verse above. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is gone. The new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. The old you may say division. The new you in Christ, empowered by the one who heals, says, I bring healing into this world with every word, with every deed, with every conversation, with everything I do. Your life can bring healing. If you didn't remember that superpower because you haven't seen kids in a while, then let me remind you, you have the power to speak it and make it better. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.